Good morning, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to the La Niña News Conference. Your lines are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer segment of today's call. At that time, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Maureen O'Leary. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, and thanks for joining us to hear about NOAA's La Niña Advisory, which we issued today. I'm Maureen O'Leary from NOAA Communications. If you have questions following the briefing, you can reach me by email at Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, dot O'Leary, O-L-E-A-R-Y, at NOAA.gov. Or you can call me on my cell phone at 202-578-5257. We'll begin with brief remarks, and we'll take questions from reporters only. As the operator said, a recording will be available about an hour after the event ends on NOAA.gov. Mike Halpert, the Deputy Director of NOAA's Climate Prediction Center in College Park, Maryland, is with us today. He is on the forecast team that develops the El Nino Southern Oscillation Diagnostic Discussion, which is issued on the second Thursday each month. He also contributes to the Seasonal Outlook Updates. Here's Mike.
Thanks, Maureen. The National Weather Service plays an important role in helping the nation prepare for, respond to, and recover from extreme weather and climate events. We're here today to talk about the just-developed La Niña in the tropical Pacific Ocean, albeit what is anticipated to be a weak, short-lived event. Since the near-record 2015-16 El Niño ended in June, sea surface temperature anomalies have decreased further and have remained between 1/2 and 1 degree Celsius below average for the last 4 to 6 weeks. In addition, the pattern of tropical rainfall has also been much more persistent and La Niña-like, with enhanced rainfall over Indonesia and suppressed rainfall over the West Central and Central Pacific. The official consensus probabilities currently favor La Niña to persist through at least December, January, and February. The highest probabilities are early on, roughly 75% for the October through December season, which decreases to 55% by December, January, February. Thereafter, so beginning in January, February, March, intro-neutral is favored. This does mean that because the probabilities are not that high, it's possible that in a retrospective fashion, this episode may not qualify as a La Niña by our historic classification measure. But that doesn't mean impacts can't happen. The winter outlook, which was discussed 3 weeks ago, strongly factored the possibility that La Niña conditions would emerge prior to the start of winter. Therefore, when the outlooks, and in particular the December, January, February outlook, is updated next Thursday on November 17th, large changes are not expected at this time. As a reminder to the outlook that was released in October for winter featured, we do expect above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation across much of the southern U.S., and below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation across parts of the northern U.S. The outlook also favors the persistence and even development of drought across large swaths of the southern U.S. And with that, let me turn it back to Maureen to help moderate the Q&A session.
Thank you, Mike. Michelle, if you can tell people how to ask questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one. Again, that is star one to ask a question. One moment, please. Brian Sullivan from Bloomberg News, you may go ahead.
Hi, Mike. How strong do you think the impacts are going to be, given that this is kind of a weak event? And is there, what would they linger into the spring? Would there be any kind of impact in the spring after this was over? Or is this just too weak that it wouldn't have that big of an impact that far out?
You know, we were looking at you know, strength of impacts is always a real challenge. And you know, from a forecast perspective, I went back and looked at some of the previous La Niña events. And it turns out that at least from a forecast perspective, the probabilities that we're showing on our current winter map are very similar to the probabilities we issued back with the last much stronger event back, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is that we the persistence and the confidence in the forecast with La Nina is generally less than El Nino. So I'm not sure that the fact that this is a weak event should mean that you know, well, we're just not going to see impacts from it. As far as looking forward into the spring, that becomes harder. If this event does kind of die off mid to late winter, sometimes there is still a residual kind of impact into the atmosphere. But, you know, even if the event keeps going as we head into the spring, at least for North America, we typically see impacts from La Nina weaken anyhow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dan Scott from KNWA. You may go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I have a quick question about the 2011 winter that we had, 2010 to 2011. And I do believe that was a La Nina year as well. I wanted you to kind of clarify, was that a strong La Nina back in 2011? Because our winter was probably one of the most extremes that we've seen in a long time in the Mid-South, in Arkansas, especially Northwest Arkansas. And also, you know, does a stronger La Nina kind of tilt the scales as to a more active winter?
You know, it's hard to draw that type of a one-to-one correlation. First off, that was a much stronger event than we're seeing and than we expect this to be. That was a borderline strong event. And the way we're classifying this is the magnitude of the departures across the East Central Tropical Pacific. So that particular event did peak out at minus a degree and a half for our three-month average during the months of September, October, November. You know, we're only into November right now, but it looks like that what we'll see this year for SON is probably going to be maybe half that. You know, does that mean that the impacts will be less than that? You know, that winter, I suspect, you know, the thing that people need to understand is that El Nino or La Nina are not the only thing that impacts our climate. And, you know, I would have to go back and look at that winter, but I suspect that typically when we see a lot of cold in parts of the country, it's related to other factors besides just either El Nino or La Nina. So you know, you don't. One of the worst ways to make a forecast that I found in my experience is to do a very simple analog and say, well, this looks like this year, and you pick one year and you expect to see a repeat of it, because that just doesn't really seem to work. I mean, you don't have to go back further than last winter in Southern California in the mm-hmm. Southwest, where we, you know, everything was stacked in favor of a wet year, and it still didn't happen.
Yeah. Another one of those factors, like you said, the Arctic Oscillation really went negative in January, and the impacts were felt in February with multiple snowstorms. I think it got down to like a -3, so it was way down there on the Arctic Oscillation, and the NAO also went negative too. So, like you said, there's a lot of teleconnections besides La Nina. I just wanted to see what the La Nina was categorized in 2011. All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, sure, you're welcome.
Thank you, John Myers from the Duluth, Minnesota News Tribune. You may go ahead.
Hey, thanks, folks. If you folks are seeing this as possibly not even a La Nina event at all, is there something else going on that would continue you to keep that prediction for the northern tier as colder and snowier? Is there something else that you're thinking is happening, or would you eventually diminish that down too?
Well, we're not saying that we don't think this will be an event. I mean, we clearly issued an advisory, so we do expect it is. I was just kind of alluding to the possibility that by our strict definition of these three, this five-month, five seasons of overlapping departures in the Nino 3.4 region might not qualify. We clearly have La Nina right now, and we expect that it will influence the circulation this winter. That's, you know, playing a fairly substantial role in the expectations that the northern plains will see below average temperatures this winter.
But so far you're not seeing other things develop that would exacerbate that.
No, I mean, actually, you know, if we were just sitting here looking, obviously we've seen very little cold air anywhere in, well, North America, certainly into the U.S. so far this winter. It's been a very slow start. I mean, winter doesn't officially begin by our terminology into December. Some years November has been cold in parts of the country. Some years we even see snows in October. Other than stuff that's fallen in the mountains out in the Rocky Mountains, I don't think there's been much snow anywhere yet. You know, here we're on November 10th. It's still not that late. So at this point, there's no indication of really cold getting into the country, but winter starts in, what, 3 weeks, at least by our definition for December 1st.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Kimberly Verklove from San Francisco Chronicle, you may go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I'm wondering if you could tell me how the updated predictions might affect California and its current drought.
Well, we will update our temperature, precipitation, and drought forecast next week. So I can't make a big prediction. I can't really comment on that. But what I can say is that when we issued the forecasts last month, you know, the expectation that this La Nina would continue to develop and persist was certainly in the minds of the forecasters. So I would not expect to see big changes. But, you know, having said that, I don't know for sure. We actually will start that process this afternoon, and so that will be certainly one of the things that we'll discuss.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one. Our next question comes from Andrea Thompson from Climate Central. You may go ahead.
Hi, Nick. So I was curious whether, you know, because we've kind of already been seeing this very warm, very dry weather, certainly over the last month or so over the southern tier. So do you think we can say that's related at least towards this tendency towards cooler conditions in the Pacific, even if it wasn't technically a La Nina?
You know, I would actually not go that way. One of the things we've been noticing, and I think it has changed a little bit recently, but over the past month, the pattern in the Pacific has really featured something that would be more typical for a wintertime El Nino case. We've seen a kind of a deep low in the Gulf of Alaska. You know, for those that were discussing the blob of warm waters in the North Pacific, those have drastically cooled from where they were over the past month, again set up by the atmospheric circulation, and that's the way those SSTs respond to that. So I would not say at this point what we've seen so far through October and into the early parts of November really are at all being influenced by the developing and developed La Nina.
Gotcha.
And at this time, I am showing no further questions. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. And I am showing no further questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. So thank you for joining our call today. Again, if you would like to reach me, my phone number is 202-578-5257, and my email address is maureen.O'Leary@NOAA.gov, and the audio from this news conference will be available in about an hour on the NOAA.gov website.
And Ms. O'Leary, we do have a few more questions now. Would you like to take those?
Sure.
Bryce Anderson from Progressive Farmer, you may go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the chance to ask. Mike, what I wanted to get your thoughts on had to do with the SOI, the Southern Oscillation Index, because over the past month or so, it looks like that's really just pulled into neutral, and it's just kind of going back and forth in that neutral category. Is that making an influence in how your analysis is playing out at all regarding this La Nina?
You know, that is something that we've noticed, and actually a lot of times the atmosphere can see these types of changes, kind of what we call on sub-seasonal variability. It changes much more rapidly at times than the ocean does. For that reason, we try not to look at the shorter-term weeks-to-months variations in atmospheric parameters like the Southern Oscillation Index, and we prefer to look at it over a seasonal basis, which kind of smooths out this type of thing. But you're right, it has recently gone into the neutral zone. You know, this is, as we said, it's a weak event at this point. The patterns of tropical rainfall have been pretty persistent and locked in, but the patterns of pressure and low-level winds have not really been all that strong at this point, and that might be the way this event continues to evolve.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Doyle Rice from USA Today, you may go ahead.
Oh, yeah, thanks for doing this call. Is the location of the of La Nina this winter slightly different than it has been in the past as far as the location in the tropical Pacific? And also wondering about that kind of anomalous warm water that's kind of north of the equatorial regions in the Pacific and how that might affect it.
As far as the patterns across the Pacific, you know, I've got a map up in my room here just looking at the last week. And it's fairly, I mean, it's weak, but it extends from, you know, at least the dateline, you know, well to the west or to the east of 100 west. So it's pretty much across the entire central and eastern Pacific. So I would say that's typical. You know, again, it's not like the stronger events we saw back in, I guess it was 2010-11 or certainly the ones in the late 90s. So, you know, that's okay. You're right, the north of that area is significantly warm, especially, you know, areas off the coast of Mexico. You know, it's just hard to say as to whether that will influence the jet stream and downstream impacts. Typically with La Nina, we see a retraction of the jet stream. So instead of it extending well out, or at least into the central part of the Pacific, it will retract westward and not extend near that far. If that's the case, and then we build a kind of a blocking high pressure somewhere over the north central Pacific, you know, then the warm water in the eastern part of the basin north of the equator won't play a role. But, you know, that's completely speculative, and it is much different than some of the other events we've seen over the past 20 or 30 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I am showing no further questions.
All right. Thank you. If anybody needs to reach me, my phone number is 202-578-5257. Again, this is Maureen O'Leary, and we are ending the El Nino advisory call. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.